This is a reading called Open Up the Doors, and I don't know the author. It's a poem, actually. Open up the doors. Push on looming wooden arches embroidered with ironwork. Brace shoulders against the weight of history unmoved. Shake off the musty smell of unused joy and stored up sorrow. Knock rust off the hinges if you have to, and let your breath precede you inside. Open the doors more, make room for a shaft of sunlight to cross the threshold. Give the dust motes something to dance about. Peek through a single slice of possibility and name even the half-hidden truths you see. Open the doors wider still, pour yourself through the gap, strut or sneak or sidle as suits you best. Cleanse whatever scrapes catch your skin and bind up the wounds that keep you from entering whole. Open the doors as far as they will go, draw on the strength of the stones beneath you. Ground yourself in a firm sense of who you are most clearly. Stand as a beacon, welcoming the next seeker, and shine far beyond the lintel and sill. Open all that you are. Heighten and deepen your connections to the world around you. Broaden your definition of neighbor. Grow into the largest target for grace, the largest target for grace that you can muster. And pray to become a gateway for even greater love and compassion. Open up the doors, my friends, lest we keep the stranger out and condemn ourselves to prisons of our own making. Open up the doors. As you're able, please rise and let us all rise in spirit to sing 490 in the blue hymnal, the Chalice Hymnal. Be seated. Think for a moment why you yourself might, how you yourself might answer the question, why are we here on Sunday morning? Take a brief moment inside of yourself and consider how you would answer that question. Why are we here on Sunday morning? It's possible that the reasons you have are different from your neighbor's. It might change from week to week and year to year. But probably they're more similar. Thoughts like, we're here to worship. The word worship comes from worth, considering we are gathered to consider the things of worth. We're here to worship God as we each understand God. We're here to be in community. We're here to join together for work in the wider community of life. I'm guessing that if I were sitting in the pew at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning and asked that question, I would not have said to myself, the main reason we are here, the reason that supersedes all others, is to welcome the stranger. To make sure that any new or newer person feels welcome and invited into this circle of love and justice. This is rarely what we would say, I think. We all might ask ourselves if we have ever been driving to church on a Sunday, thinking about with an eager anticipation all of the new people we will meet and have the privilege to greet, to learn about, to include. We all might ask ourselves, what's in our mind as we enter the fellowship hall into coffee hour? Is our main intention to be to find a new person, a person we don't know, to strike up a conversation? I suspect it's rare. We're usually wanting to get some church business done or to greet the people we know, our friends. I suspect it's rare to enter coffee hour like that unless we are the greeter team or the membership team or some such. It's a great case to be made that greeter and membership teams make people feel, have people feeling like that function is cared for. And I'll sign up next year and be on that committee, but this year there are people being the greeters. In some ways, this is a sermon about how greeters and others might actually hinder our ability to be a truly welcoming and invitational and inclusive community. This is a sermon about hospitality. In the Unitarian Universalist congregations I have known, and also in the United Church of Christ churches, who I'm certain have similar stories to tell. I'm going to take issue with some of the reasons I myself have admired through the years for why we ought to be very intentional about making sure that every visitor on Sunday morning is not only greeted, but given every opportunity to engage. Not just to come to the dance, but to be invited to dance. To become part of this community, to be seen and known, to bring their gifts, to tell their story. I'm going to be sharing some conversations I've had with those who have visited First Parish United in Westford in recent years. These are conversations that might be difficult to hear. Still, I understand my main role as an interim minister to be that of telling you what I see, so that you may choose to consider it as a worthy issue to discuss, to learn about, to change. Most of the things I'm going to mention, the conversations I've seen everywhere I've served as a minister, have participated in myself. And here, I hope you know that there is much more to celebrate than these conversations might show. That's the caveat I have, is that the stories I'll share are like those I've heard for 37 years in every congregation I've been involved with. So in this sense, they are not unique, although they may feel that way. And you should know I have permission to share these stories. Those of us in liberal religious communities where there's a wide berth to believe that which you find to be true. We're fond of saying that because we are theologically diverse, we are inclusive and welcoming. We sing, "Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving." We sing, "We're going to sit at the welcome table." We sing it with conviction. We might spend time working on immigration issues and wanting our government to be more humane and welcoming to those in search of safety, sustenance, or freedom. But we can't remember the last time we greeted a new person on Sunday morning. David White has a poem called "Start Close In." This is just part of it. "Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in. The step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes an intimate, private ear that can really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step that you can call your own. Start close in." When it comes to being practiced at welcoming people into our communities from Sunday to Sunday, we can just be plain old unaware or neglectful. Not out of any malice or lack of desire to be welcoming, and to slide into behaviors that are not, in fact, welcoming at all. The first church I served, a group of people decided that Sunday coffee hour, there would be no church business done. That is long ago, has fallen by the wayside as people have gotten busier and busier. But what happened is, and by the way, somebody left the church because she couldn't do business for that hour every week. Woo! Because it calls on us to see, to talk to one another about other things, does it not? You know, we read the right Bible passages, but when it comes right down to it, we gravitate to the known people in coffee hour. We don't much want to listen to new ideas, especially if we spent 2 years coming up with a plan that was a struggle to create. And we can get into ruts. This is across the board in most congregations. We often want comfort, connection, and continuity in our church life. It's understandable, especially in these times, as they say. So being very, very intentional about truly meeting and including people can be challenging and uncomfortable, can be hard work. And if you're an introvert, it's especially hard work. My contention today is that learning how to offer deep, radical hospitality is the most important thing we can do here, or in any congregation. In the present moment, starting close in, open to loving inclusion. First, let me tell you a story from another congregation. I assure you, there are many, many stories in every congregation. Two of my closest friends are a colleague and her spouse. And on the first Sunday of a new settled ministry, a new call, the first Sunday of the job, during coffee hour, her spouse stood with her coffee. Not a soul spoke to her. She decided to sit down, thinking maybe someone would come and sit. After all, she had been introduced in the service where there were about 30 people, so she's pretty sure they all know who she is. No one approached. For 45 minutes, she is what I call and have been a coffee hour wallflower. Now someone said, well, maybe they did not know that she was the minister's spouse. It is unlikely, as I said, but let us say that that is true, that people did not know this. It begs the question, to be sure. She told me that if her wife was not the minister, she would have never returned. This past week, I attended a potluck in Concord that was totally unrelated to congregational life. Most of the people there were new to me. A woman approached me after we had all introduced ourselves, said what we did for a living, etc. She heard that I was the interim pastor here at First Parish United. She said that in the spring of 2018, she'd had a terrible car accident that caused her to be homebound for months, or for weeks. She was new to town, she was single. When she was finally ambulatory on crutches and also supporting a shoulder cast, she hired someone to bring her to services here. She told me that not one person spoke to her, not before the service, or in the service, or after. She went to coffee hour, and like my friend, she was a wallflower. I could see that it was painful for her to remember. I could see that recollecting it was painful. We can get so absorbed in the working of church, in our own crisis and happenings, indeed to the crisis outside our own doors, in our nation, in the world, that we are blind to those standing right in front of us, who come seeking succor and hope. We too, after all, are here to connect and be seen and known. Neurology is sort of a side passion of mine, and it's true that our brains are wired to want to have a clan or a tribe. Our brains are also evolving to the place where they can see the whole in the small. Because if we don't do that, we won't survive as a planet. Isn't that not true? So our brains know how to do that. We do have to be very, very conscious of welcoming in order for it to be present in our churches. We can be reluctant to invite people to do things that we think only a seasoned member should do. Someone here made an effort to have a conversation with me about how she had been here for a while but felt lonely during coffee hour. She noticed that people tended to gravitate to the same people Sunday after Sunday. We can chafe if someone offers a new idea because we've fallen in love with our ideas. Nothing wrong with that. We're attached to it. When I first came here a year ago, fall, a woman called and made an appointment with me, and she wanted me to know how she felt she had been treated here, that she had joined a committee in hopes of knowing people and to be of service to the mission here. And she said that her ideas were not very welcome in that committee. She kept going, but in the end decided to leave the church and find another place where her gifts would be more welcome. Now, for years, I've encouraged churches to set up membership committees or greeter teams and some such. They're important, don't get me wrong. I have been motivated for churches to grow in numbers so that they might survive and thrive. I no longer think that the reason for creating a culture of welcome is to grow in numbers or to increase pledge revenue. I think when that is our bottom line, we are not that motivated to be welcoming. Who hasn't said, if you're involved in a church, how can we get more people here? We need more income. Listen, churches may not survive. We can't control that. This church may not survive the slings and arrows of history and changes and cultural shifts. But teaching ourselves to heal the world close in is always available to us. Most religions, ancient religions, say that learning how to do this is life-changing, transformative. We know that it is earth-saving to see one another as one entity, as one interdependent entity. The spiritual practice of hospitality. We find in the present moment of eager presence with another that we become both the host and the guest, that we receive so much by the open interchange and presence of another person, that the walls between what it means to be hospitable and what it means to receive hospitality is very fluid. Hospitality incorporates a number of spiritual values tightly woven together, and its overarching essence is love, a love for all of life's manifestations. In the particular, loving all of life, to me, that is the awareness of salvation. We know that hospitality's roots are derived from the Latin hospice, and from hospitalite, all pointing to the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. A French scholar described hospitality this way: the virtue of a great soul that cares for the whole universe through one tie with one human being. The virtue of a great soul that cares for the whole universe through the ties of humanity. In ancient times, the Germans, Celts, Gauls, and Atlantic peoples considered it sacrilege to close one's doors to any person, known or unknown. A tribe in Africa teaches its children when they cook to always make more in case somebody shows up. I was participating at another church I served in a Passover Seder, and we were just at the part where we talk about the empty chair that's there for Elijah, the guest, the visitor. The church was next door to a facility for people with mental illness, and in walked Andy, who I knew quite well, to join the Passover. And I noticed that he was told at the door that you had to have a reservation, that he could not come in. It was so ironic to me, out of fear or the sense that he wasn't the right person or that you indeed had to have a reservation. The chair stayed empty and Andy left. Through time, Asians have spared nothing in hosting their visitors, including the washing of feet or full baths. Well, that I wouldn't like. Prior to their welcoming festivities. Afterwards, they would invoke the protecting gods of hospitality to watch over and care for their honored guest. Here's the thing, in all religions I know of, in their ancient practices, hospitality was at the top of the list. Both giver and receiver were blessed through coming together in the present moment. Practice like this can transform our beings. When there is a spaciousness between us and we're not thinking about what just happened or what might happen, there's this real freedom to, when we remember to do it, to just be present in loving care. That's the transformative piece of hospitality. So globally, hospitality through time was considered a sacred art that united all nations. Until, along the way, commerce, profit, broke the ties of benevolence among individuals and shifted their focus from a love of people to a love of financial interest. Now, through a detached sense of humanity, the wealthy pay for services of hospitality and don't learn how to be hospitable to people outside of their class, further severing the ties that bind the hearts of people in fellowship. I fear we are losing the art of welcome. Here we have a chance to remember to start close in. In my last church, there was a tradition of asking visitors to take a red cup during coffee hour. And at some point, so that people could greet them. And I always thought, ooh, I hope somebody greets them. So at some point, there was a blue cup person whose job it was to greet the red cup person. But I came to realize that we're all red cup people. We're all red cup people. I remembered that how holding the red cup means, hey, I'm here, searching for a space to be loved just as I am. I'm here because the lighted place within me that wants to shine outward into the world wants a place to work with others to do that. Do you see me? Is that possible here? Are you a red cupper too? In our vulnerability, we all carry a red cup. We're all new. So I wonder if there's a way to have a common ethical agreement in a congregation that the first order of business on a Sunday morning is welcoming other people. And if there aren't any visitors, welcoming the people that you do come in contact with. Would it be possible for a group to affirm that when they arrive at First Parish, this is the practice, we seek to let go of the way I think things are going to go this morning and let go of getting my needs met particularly, and make a space in my heart for all who are present, teaching me to be present, to teach all of us to be present in love? What would it be like if people made a vow to grow in spiritual depth by learning to be hospitable more and more? It seems to me that we need to remind ourselves that we're not a member of a club or a spa. Our tasks and needs are important, but they don't come first on a Sunday morning. Maybe ever, I don't know. I wonder if we might practice and step outside of our own comfort to do these things, to start close in to the wallflower, the coffee hour wallflower. Oftentimes, isn't it true that somebody is a wallflower, but people are so engaged that they don't notice it. And if they did, they would go and greet that person. Could we vow to say that this might cause me discomfort and have that discomfort be a signal that something important is about to happen? And to breathe and to reaffirm our desire to be hospitable, even if we don't know quite what to say, even if we put our foot in our mouth, people know when they are truly welcome. Could we not remind ourselves driving to church of our own vulnerability? Could we not remember why we first came through the door of a church? Could we not forgive ourselves for doing this incorrectly, or not at all for that matter? Could we not agree that we want to increase our ability to be loving in the present moment, close in? So I invite you in the next 5 months, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years to talk about this and to consider how it might become, how you might remind one another to be conscious of the people who feel like strangers here. They're not always newcomers either. So I thought we would do a people communion this morning. And the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to get up, if you're able, and go sit somewhere else. Maybe don't sit with the person you always sit with. Most people sit in the same place every Sunday. You agree? Even better, sit next to somebody you don't know so well. Hey, I love you guys. I'm getting up and doing it. Yeah, you could. So it looks like they're leaving.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
I'm metaphorically sitting next to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, and we can do this too. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. So how's it been since the holidays have been over for you?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So now that you're.
We're not there yet.
Oh, you're not there yet. Well, I hardly recognize you. All right, so it's likely that at least 70% of you do know the person next to you. So, but still, this conversation can ensue. Talk to one another in a two or a threesome about your first time here in this place. And what it was like, and did somebody welcome you, or did they not? And what made you feel welcome, ultimately, that has you returning? How did it feel to move, too? How did it feel to move from your place? Not all of you did. I see who you are. That's fine, too. How did it feel to move? What is it? Okay. So you had an instruction to actually sit by somebody you might not otherwise. I understand that. So take a moment and have a conversation about how you yourself have felt welcomed or not here. The children as well. What makes you feel welcome here in this church home?
When I joined the choir,
yeah.
I didn't know anyone, and I actually play the piano. I don't even sing, but I can read notes and all that. Yeah, so I'm a piano player, and it's really interesting. Like, I've had very deep conversations with each of the people in the choir, including like Sandy. I've told her like about my childhood and how I grew up with a piano teacher, and I mean, really like nice conversations.
Deeper level.
Yeah, deeper level.
Like, you're good at that too.
And I joined the Journey group, and after three groups, I actually really look forward to that once a month.
Yeah.
It really is like who I am. I like conversations with people and exploring ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's really welcoming and willing to share. Like, even people who you might consider as introverted at first, once they get comfortable in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And coffee hour, I've had enough people come talk to me. I talked
Good.
To someone new last time.
Good.
How do you, did you feel welcome when you came here? And
well, it's slightly different because I have a role. But so it's less scary in that way, and ministers protect themselves in that role, I think. But when I first joined the Union Church, I was a wallflower for two weeks at least. I don't know why I went back. I really liked the sermon, but I was not comfortable afterward. But then I think maybe somebody calls me and asks me to go for coffee or meet her for coffee. It turned out she was looking for a pledge, and I was only there 2 weeks, so that wasn't very welcoming. But we became great friends. I loved her, Tony Sargent. She's an older woman. I was young then. So, yeah, so even that, you know, made a difference. Yeah.
when you said in today about what makes you come to the church, like the sermons were one of the top two for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love your sermons.
Oh, thank you.
They really make me think, and I think you really draw upon like a lot of different sources mm-hmm. to create the sermon. I mean, it comes from so many different places, and then you like make it your own. And I love listening to them. I like love all the topics, and then I leave thinking about something,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is the most important part. Like, does it touch your life? You know?
Does it? Yeah. And I often think, you know, sermons are one thing, but that experience with people. I mean, a sermon is an experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But practice with others too is a really beautiful thing. Look, just look. That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new couple here, they just joined. They're talking to somebody they probably never talked to. They look happy. I need to.
Oh, now we're done.
No, that's okay. Stay here anyway.
Start close in. I mean, sometimes we're like mean to our families, and then we go out into the world, and we're like do all these wonderful things. And you come home and you yell at your spouse.
I've done that.
Yeah. So this is just a real basic but important message
yeah.
that like you can get caught up in welcoming refugees, like you said, and caught up in welcoming areas.
But it doesn't really require much of a relationship with those particular people, the immigrant. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's important work, right?
I mean,
oh, I know how I'll end. I have an idea. All right. Now, you can continue. If everybody didn't get a chance, you can continue this in coffee hour.
Look at that. This was a really good activity.
So I'd like two people to just share a feeling welcomed when they first came through the door here. Can somebody share briefly who welcomed you and how did that feel? Anybody want to share? Okay, John.
There was a gentleman at the front door and there was a lady inside.
Maybe we.
And there were folks on the outside, and I said, "Well, I'm waiting." And it does feel very good. I actually like this. I think this maybe could be a monthly community.
It's probably the crux of worship when you think about it.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
I think everybody, you know, you said it before, you put yourself out there, and it hurts a little bit, but then it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind
it's
of
scary. It can be scary.
It's scary, but it feels
yeah.
good.
Okay, so somebody greeted you at the door. Tom.
It was one of the first times we came, I'm not sure if it was the first time, but Bonnie Trinkanel walked right up to us. We were holding Lily as a baby. And
wow.
She said, "Who are you?" And, welcome.
And how was coffee hour?
After that, it was nice.
Oh, good. 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 So, this congregation has been through a lot in recent years of transition, and the woman who came with the cast and the crutches, I will tell you, was here on the day of your annual meeting in the spring of 2018 when you were dealing with difficult things. And so, you know, a case is made for when your energy is going there. I mean, you know, I can understand it. I mean, I can only imagine what the conversation in annual meeting was like. So, raise your hand. How many people have been here less than 5 years? Huh? Wow, quite a few. How many people have been here 10 years or less? 10 to 5, okay? Okay. How about 20? Okay. 30?
Between
20 and 30. 20 and 30, 40. Awesome. That one. Okay, and 50? There you go. Well, Ellen's been here, yes. Her dad was the minister here for quite a while. Okay. Thank you for participating in that. And I don't know what the conversation will be beyond now. I think maybe at the end of every service, there ought to be a reminder, you know, that the minister or someone, the deacons could give for us to remember to greet each other with presence. So may it be. It is fun to see you in new places. Rise as you're able, and this is an insert. We're going to sit at the welcome table. As this one has been, by open-hearted sharing, learning from one another, and making beautiful harmonies together. And may we greet everyone we encounter with the same acceptance and grateful kinship until we meet again. Blessed be.